We don't always get All Saints Day on a Sunday. And so, as I was looking at the texts and thinking what we should talk about, it seemed to me fairly obvious that we needed to at least bring All Saints Day in somehow, just because we finally got this nice little collection. And so as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, well, what makes a saint? And as I already gave away the punchline of such a thing, if there is one, and the time that we spent with the children, it's fairly straightforward, but I still think there's some things that we can talk about and some things we can think about when it comes to being a saint. The word saint, of course, has got all kinds of meanings. The first one that pops up for most of us is what you might think of as perhaps the traditional saint, someone who's been identified by the Catholic Church or perhaps the Orthodox Church or one of the others as an especially significant person. There's a lot of things that go through, that they need to go through to figure out exactly who is a saint and who isn't. And when that's done, they are recognized as being special, like St. Benedict, St. Francis, there's all kinds of them, far more than we've ever heard of. Apparently, there's at least one saint day for every day of the year, which I didn't know about, but that's not my tradition. And the problem with thinking of that when it pops up that that's a saint is that it limits our potential for understanding the larger picture of what that word might mean. And so instead of thinking of saints in particular, I was thinking, well, what makes a saint? And it's not just that a church body has identified someone as a saint. It's a little bit more broad than that, or at least it could be. To a certain extent, it's our behavior, it's what we do. But being a saint begins with a particular thing, and that's what's covered in our Hebrews reading this morning. We're going to start thinking about that before we move on to Mark. And in the Old Testament system, you needed to do particular actions to make you holy, to remove the unholiness about you. And the writer of Hebrews talks particularly about it. The blood of goats and calves, ashes of a heifer. These sorts of things needed to be done. And they did, and they removed that stain of sin or the lack of holiness when it happened. The problem was that if you went to the altar and made your sacrifice, or sometimes the sacrifice was made on your behalf, the high priest would sacrifice on behalf of all the people, whatever it might have been, you would do this action and you would then be moved into a state of being holy. And you'd stay there until something happened. But some of these things you could do yourself if you committed a particular kind of sin, but also if you touched a dead person without even knowing. Some of these things could happen without any volition on your part at all. And then suddenly you were not holy anymore and you had to go and do sacrifices again. Well, the writer of Hebrews spends a lot of this of the book helping us realize that when Jesus came and in his perfection as a human being, when he lived life here, suffered, died and was raised again, he became the ultimate and the last sacrifice ever needed. And the sacrifice he did was of such an extent that the connection with his sacrifice was permanent. Before, your connection with the sacrifices, whether it was a dove or whatever it might have been, lasted until it was used up, if you will. I don't know what the best way to think of it is, but that's how I always thought about it when I first encountered these things. That the sacrifice worked for a period of time, and then its efficacy, its value was used up, and then you need to do it again. Well, with Jesus, you don't need to do it again. He's the once-for-all, once-forever sacrifice. What does that have to do with being a saint? Well, one of the things that makes us a saint is to move into this relationship with God through Christ. The word saint, as used in Scripture, almost never refers to someone of spectacular holiness. It's usually a plural. It's quite frequently part of a letter beginning to all the saints at this place or that place. James talks about saints, plural. And he's talking about people who are not spectacularly holy, although perhaps some of them are. He's talking about people who have moved into this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be what we call Christians. The people who have moved into this relationship are saints. That's the first thing that makes a saint. But I just finished some time with James, so it's impossible for me to think that there isn't something that we have to do as well, because of course there is, because being a saint does involve our behavior. It's just not quite the same way it is when a panel of religious scholars get together and determine whether it's someone who's no longer with us has enabled a miracle on their behalf. It's not quite as complex as that. In our Mark story, there's a couple of very interesting things going on in here. And the first one, the one that strikes me as, I don't know if it's the most fascinating, but it's another great opportunity for us to realize that we tend, as I've been speaking of in the last little while, we tend to fall into this dual either-or thinking. It is or it isn't, and that kind of thing. Well, a teacher of the law comes and listens to people debating and notices that Jesus has given a good answer. So he goes to Jesus and says, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And what I find interesting is that Jesus refuses to be painted into the corner of picking one. One of the things that I've come to realize is that while it's easier for us to live an either-or world, it's usually not the best kind of world to live in, because so many things aren't either-or. So many things are more complex than that, and this is one of those. So he says, what's the most important? Well, Jesus says, the most important one is this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." I find that fascinating. What's the one thing I need to do? Well, you need to do this and this. There's no question of saying that, well, you can get it down to one. But Jesus says that these two things are so connected that they can't be taken apart. And everything depends on these. So part of what makes a saint is obeying the commandments. But maybe not the ones you're thinking of, not so much the 10, as what Jesus says here. These are the two that everything else depends on. These are the commandments that you need to obey. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's what makes a saint. And the thing is that in the same way that there isn't one thing that makes a saint, it's these two things working together. First of all, we have to have this relationship with God through Jesus. Because if we don't have that, these commandments don't make a lot of sense. So we believe in this relationship we have, we believe in its reality, but we also say that coming out of that, flowing from that, are these two commandments, where we love the Lord our God and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we do these things, that's what qualifies us, if you will, to be a saint. And when we look at those people that we call saints that have a capital S saint in front of their name, these are the things that we remember, are those things that flow from the relationship they had with God through Jesus and how they loved the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they loved their neighbors themselves. Everyone who does this is a saint. Now, some people are more obvious in their saintliness, I suppose. Some people are given a larger platform to demonstrate their commitment to these things. But they're not fundamentally different than us. Because one of the things that we see coming out of Hebrews is that the sacrifice that Jesus made was for everyone. And once you have accepted the reality of that sacrifice and what it means for you, and you've moved into that relationship, You are as in as you can be. You can't be more in any more than you can be more married. When you're married, you're married. That's it. There is nothing more than that. It's a totality. And everyone that's in this relationship is the same. We all have different gifts. We talk often about gifts. Some people, their gifts are obvious to everyone, and some, the gifts are more behind the scenes, but they all work together and we all have to have them. And if anyone doesn't exercise their gifts, we're all a little impoverished. And it's the same with being a saint. We are all the same, even as we exercise that in different ways. Some people are called to live a dramatic life. St. Francis, born into wealth, gave it up, said, I don't want this. I'm going to live with the poor, and then realized that there was another group even beyond that, and he went and lived with lepers for a while. Not because he thought that this way I will one day be sainted, but rather because that was God's call upon him. It flowed out of his relationship with God, through his love for God and his love for his neighbor as he loved himself. And it made him a saint long before any church body named him a saint. Because sainthood begins the moment we begin our relationship with God. Because that's what makes a saint. The relationship and what we do with the relationship makes us a saint. It doesn't make us perfect. Let's get that out of the way. If you're worried about saying, in sort of the colloquial sense, that yes, I am indeed a saint, and someone says, well, you're not perfect. Well, so what? That's got nothing to do with it. None of us are perfect. None of those saints were perfect either, the ones with a capital S. One of the things we do together every Sunday as saints is we confess together. And I'm sure that frequently the phrases of the prayer of confession have no connection with you. These aren't things that you struggle with. But you say them anyway because it's a reminder that saints as we are, we still live in a fallen world. And as much as we want to love the Lord our God with all our heart, strength, and everything else, sometimes we just don't. And much as we want to love our neighbor as ourselves, sometimes we just don't. But that doesn't make us non-saints. When we notice it, it makes us self-aware saints. And we confess those, and we then move on. Because part of what makes a saint is someone who is willing to face the reality of our own humanness and do what it is that we can with the call that we have each individually received, knowing that we'll make mistakes, knowing that we'll sin, knowing that we'll do things that we are ashamed of later, but knowing also that that doesn't end the relationship, because forgiveness is always there. It's always available for us. What makes a saint? Well, the fact that you're here doesn't make you a saint. But because you're here, you might be a saint. And because you're a saint, you're probably in church. Sound confusing? Because being a saint is about being you. Being who you are. Remembering always that Christ loved you enough to sacrifice himself for you. Remembering always that even on your bad days, you still do love the Lord your God. And even on the days when you just can't stand your neighbors, you do know that you actually do love them as yourself. And that you'll have better days. And you'll treat them the way that you wish you would have treated them that other day. And you'll make it up to them. You'll make amends. You'll do whatever it needs. Because being a saint doesn't make you a super person. It makes you who you are in the place that you are called to be. To live out this relationship with God through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And that makes you a saint. Amen.